was at Canyon eating with some of my friends on Thursday, and they said, "What are you doing this weekend?" I said, "Well, I'm going home. I'm getting to speak on Sunday." And they said, "Oh, you're getting to speak Easter Sunday." I said, "I have no idea if it's Easter Sunday or not. I didn't realize." But yeah, it's Easter Sunday. So maybe if I'd have known it was Easter Sunday, which I knew was coming up, but didn't realize it was quite this Sunday, I might would have chosen a different topic. This is maybe an odd topic to talk about, especially being on Easter. In all seriousness, we like to make light of gluttony a lot of times, and we like to kind of poke fun at it and joke around about eating and stuff, but it's a serious topic, and I hope we can take it seriously this morning. You know, in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 20, it says, "Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." So we get kind of a picture that's painted of what it is to be a glutton. You know, it's not exactly a very appealing sight, is it? Thought to be a glutton. So what does it mean to be a glutton? In Deuteronomy chapter 21, we've had a little trouble with the projectors this morning, so bear with us just a little bit. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse number 18, it says, "If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." So we kind of see another picture of someone who was a glutton and what happened to him, what was expected to happen of him, being a glutton. And like I said, we kind of make light of this sometimes, and it's something that is just as important as any other thing we could talk about. I don't plan on talking about gluttony this morning. I don't plan on talking about gluttony at all. You know, I thought maybe that'd be a weird way to grab your attention. Maybe you would have turned your ears off. You start thinking about gluttony and how that's an odd topic. And maybe if I would have finished this lesson, that would have made you uncomfortable talking about gluttony. And I don't know, maybe it would. You know, we heard a lesson a while back, and the fellow who spoke talked a lot about money. And he made a comment about how, "I hope this don't make y'all uncomfortable. I know this can be an uncomfortable topic." And it can. And I thought that was an excellent lesson. And gluttony can be the same way. Maybe that can make you uncomfortable. Maybe if I got up here for half an hour and spoke on divorce or marriage or how to be a good wife or how to be a good husband, would you turn your ears off and quit listening? Just because of the topic? You know, there's things that we like to think of as kind of off topic from the pulpit. And I don't like that at all. And I started talking with Dad and I said, "You know, that lesson we heard and we talked about collection and money," I said, "I like that. I don't like how we have to feel uncomfortable whenever we talk about those things. I think we should be able to have everything out in the open here. We should be able to talk about anything." You know, in Acts chapter 7, it says, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth." This is talking about Stephen here in Acts. And he comes and he's talking to these people and he's saying something they don't like. And you know what they do? They give him the works and they chew on him. It says they gnashed on him with their teeth. They didn't like what he had to say. And I think I know why. I think it's because they were convicted. It says they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. You know, there was another lesson that I heard not very long ago. And as the gentleman started speaking and he continued talking about his topic, And I thought to myself, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And it was making me, I wasn't mad, but I got a little upset. And I thought, you know what? I don't know how to listen to this. And yeah, I kind of turned off my ears and I didn't really listen much after that. And I got nothing out of that lesson. And a few days later, I got to thinking about it more. And I thought, well, I know why I didn't like it. It's because he convicted me. I didn't like what he was saying because it was something I personally was guilty of. And I turned off my ears and I just quit listening. And that was wrong. And this is the same kind of attitude that they have here against Stephen in Acts chapter 7. This kind of attitude is a worldly attitude to have. Do you have this attitude from time to time in the service? You know, every once in a while I find myself having that attitude where I don't like what they're talking about, or maybe the guy who's speaking, he's not my favorite speaker, and so I don't listen very well, or maybe it's a boring topic like gluttony, or maybe it's a topic I don't want to hear, a topic that I'm guilty of, and so I just quit listening. It's easy, isn't it? This morning, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why do we do that? Why do we tend to turn our ears off from time to time during a lesson? When we don't like it, or it's someone we don't like to hear speak. Like I said, it's an attitude that the world has that's crept in to our personal lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I'm putting all the pieces together now. What I wanted was I wanted to come here and I wanted to hear something that was going to pat me on the back and not swap me on the rear. That's what I wanted to hear. I wanted an attaboy. And that's exactly the attitude that the world has. They want to hear things that tickle their ears. Things that are sound good, that make them feel good. And that's simply not Jesus' mission. It simply wasn't to come here and then to be buddy-buddy with all of us. He is our friend, but he didn't come here to be your pal and to say things you want to hear. And it's the world's attitude and it's the world's idea that they want to hear things that are going to itch their ears. It's not sound doctrine. It's not sound doctrine. You know, we often look at these verses and we focus on preaching the word and what it is to preach the word and how we need to preach the word. But think about this for just a moment. Think about the other side of this scripture. What does it mean to be on the other end of this? You know, if there's someone preaching the word, there's someone hearing the word. Being taught about God's word, learning more, or possibly just learning, just starting out to learn about God's word. You know who that is? Right now it's you. You're sitting here to learn. The Bible says all scripture is profitable. And when we come here, especially in this part of the service, it's time to learn. We can learn from any amount of scripture. I fully believe that. Also with that is reproving, rebuking, and exhortation. Whenever someone's preaching the word to you, you're going to be convicted, just like I was. You're going to be convicted because of your own fault, because of things that you'll be able to self-reflect and see in your life. And there will be exhortation, which there is an invitation in being comforted by God's word. This isn't what the world wants. They don't want the sound doctrine for one reason. It rebukes them. It reproves them. It's convicting. It's not fun to know that you're wrong. Nobody likes to know they're wrong. I make a statement that says if your attitude about the message is poor in any way, whether it be, like I said, who's speaking, what they're speaking about, something you're guilty of, your potential to learn in that sermon just plummets. It just goes straight to the basement. Just like it did for me. I didn't learn much of nothing out of that sermon because I decided I'm going to turn my ears off because I don't want to hear this. That's an attitude of the world. In John chapter 16, Jesus says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come." I got to thinking, why were these people not able to bear the words that Jesus said? He said he had many things to say, but they were not able to bear them. In 1 Corinthians, we see, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Here it is, going back to the attitude of the world. They don't want sound doctrine. These people couldn't bear this because they're carnal, because they're of the world. They don't have the right attitude. They're not ready to hear those words. They're not spiritually ready for that, because they're living a worldly lifestyle. It comes down to deceit is what it really comes down to. We deceive ourselves. We read many times through the scriptures about how we can deceive ourselves. James 1 and 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Corinthians says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. John says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It's a scary thing to think you can deceive yourself. Especially when you're sitting here in the assembly, listening to the Word of God, and your heart can deceive you into thinking on other things. Deceiving your own selves. Let no man deceive himself. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Here's the bottom line. If you're convicted, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to be convicted. Let yourself be convicted. If you don't let yourself be convicted, you can't fix the places that you're wrong in. You can't fix the places where you're guilty. It's a scary thing to think that your heart will deceive you. You can deceive your own self. Above all things, the heart is deceiving. You know, what we're reading about here in the heart is, in these deceiving acts, is it's a defense mechanism. You hear something you don't like and you throw up this defense mechanism and it's going to block it all out. I'll just turn off my ears. Your heart convinces you not to listen. Your heart convinces you don't need to hear this. It's convinced you that you want to hear something that's going to pat you on the back. It's a defense mechanism. And we got to tear this deceit down from our hearts. Why is the heart so deceiving? In Mark chapter 7, Jesus says, howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. Here's why it's so deceiving. It's tradition. It's human nature. It's human nature for us to want to hear things that pat us on the back. And we want to keep our own traditions. We want to be lifted up. We want the attaboys. It's human nature. Full well, you reject the commandments of God. You know, I didn't realize it for a while. As I sat there and listened to that sermon, I didn't realize I would have been convicted. And then later I realized full well I had rejected the commandments of God because I wanted my ears to be tickled. And I didn't want to hear something that was going to swap me on the rear, because it's human nature. It's tradition. What are the effects of a deceiving heart? You know, we read earlier in Corinthians and Hebrews chapter 5, there at the end of the chapter, it talks about how the babes in Christ need milk. They can't endure that strong meat. And I got to thinking of the effects of that deceiving heart, how the people in Corinthians were carnal. And they couldn't endure that word that Jesus had for them. You know, God's word is medicine. to the soul that's sick. And God's word is food to the soul that's hungry. And we have this opportunity to hear that word, to get that food, to get that medicine that our soul needs. It has to have it. And we come here and we turn our face to it and we reject it. Full well we know what we're doing because we want to be patted on the back. Let's finish that verse we started earlier in James 1 and 22. This is the English Standard Version. I thought it stated it a little more plainly. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." This is something we're guilty of. We'll sit here and we can look right into the mirror, right at our face, and we'll study it intently. We look at it. We study it. And as soon as we walk out the doors, we forgot everything we just learned. It goes in one ear and out the other. That's the effect of a deceiving heart. It's throwing up that defense mechanism. It's saying, you do not need to hear this. It's human nature. We got to fight that deceiving heart. Matthew 13, Jesus says, "He that also receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Mark, Jesus says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye." These two verses are really sad to me to think, as we read there the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, that when the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and that Christian becomes unfruitful, it's someone who's heard the word. It's not someone who didn't have this opportunity. You have this opportunity, you hear the word, just like this person would have. They heard the word, and then deceit came in and choked it out of them. Even more sad, I guess, would be in Mark, that through our deceit, through our heart deceiving us and putting up that defense mechanism, we make the word of God have no effect in our lives. Has no effect. It's because we don't want it to. It's the heart making us believe that we don't want this medicine. We don't want that food. All the while you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And you refuse the medicine. How can I fix the deceitful heart? You know, maybe you have a story similar to what I told earlier, how I heard the lesson and I just blocked it out. I didn't want to hear it. My heart deceived me. And I think I've got to fix that. We got to be able to guard against our heart and to guard the things that we put into it. There's two things that I briefly want to talk about. And first, we need to understand Jesus' mission, as I talked about earlier. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." He goes on to say, "I came to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against his mother." Jesus' word can tear apart families. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But Jesus, like I said earlier, he didn't come to be your pal and pat you on the back. He came to teach you the truth. And as we read earlier, it's going to cut you in the heart. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. And you're going to want to turn your ears off and not listen to it. But we got to be able to guard against our heart when it tries to deceive us and hear the words that God has. Secondly, we need to come to the service with the right mindset. I've mentioned already several times, you know, sometimes you might come to the service and you think, you know, I don't like hearing Zane speak. He's just boring and I'll just sit there and flip through my Bible or flip through the songbook and it'll be over before I know it. Maybe you don't like this topic. You don't want to hear about gluttony. And so I'm just going to put my head down and I'm going to make eye contact with him and it'll be over before I know it. That's an awful attitude to have. We need to have the attitude of readiness. In Acts chapter 21 and through chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "And when he had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he saith," we're going to stop there. I want you to vision this that's happening here as Paul's talking to these people. Whenever he got up there and he started talking, they got silent. And they opened their ears and they got ready to hear what Paul had to say. And he continued on, and whenever they realized, hey, this is good stuff, we need to hear this, when they were convicted, they kept the more silence. They got even more silent. They were paying attention. They were listening to every word, hanging on every word that Paul had to say. And this is the attitude we need to have when we come to the assembly. Readiness of mind. To understand and to hear and to learn from the scripture that we have before us. And also in Acts chapter 17, says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." This is talking about the Bereans here. And they were noble. You know why they were noble? Because they had readiness of mind. When there was something to be learned about God's word, they were ready for it. And they were ready for the medicine. They were ready for that food, for their spirit. And they ate. And they learned. And they were noble people because of it. We need to have that same attitude. Finally, this morning, I want to talk just a minute about the heart. You know, we kind of have two options here when it comes to the heart. In Matthew 15, it says, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." A lot like that verse we read out of Timothy earlier, isn't it? These people came to church. They sat in the pew. They sang the songs, they read the verses, and their heart was far from that place. It was nowhere near it. They were thinking about the game, they were thinking about lunch, they were thinking about themselves. Instead of thinking and focusing and meditating on God's word to grow stronger. And you'll become weak for it. When you deny yourself that food, the milk of the word, and the meat that Jesus has to offer through his word, you're going to get weak. And then in Proverbs, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It comes down to a heart problem. We got to guard our heart. When it tries to deceive us, we got to guard it. And we got to be having that readiness of mind attitude. And we got to understand that Jesus didn't come to pat you on the back. He brought a sword. He brought a weapon. And it's going to hurt. But we got to take it. As I've said several times, it's human nature for the heart to deceive ourselves. It's tradition, even. That's what we want to hear. We want the pat on the back. And dare I say, it's your job as an audience member to get that profitability out of the scriptures. It's your job. And I'm not saying there's no pressure on the speaker to bring something that's going to be profitable and arrange it in a way that is easily understandable. It's a two-way street. You got to give a little and I got to give a little. But you got to pay attention. You got to be ready in your mind to hear those words. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15 it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." You know, you can come to church every Sunday and you can listen, and the speaker can't prove you acceptable to God. You got to prove yourself through studying the scripture. It's got to be you. And this is just a little part of what studying we need to get every week. You got to study to show yourself approved. That's the longest introduction ever, isn't it? So gluttony. Maybe I'll save it for another time. I don't know. In Galatians, we read about a situation that we might be familiar with. It says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you." Jesus isn't our enemy, and he came with a sword. He came to pierce us. He's not our enemy. And the guy up here every Sunday ain't your enemy, even if he says something you don't like. If you're convicted, you probably needed to hear it. It's probably good that you're hearing it. And now it's our choice, as we read those couple verses earlier. We can guard our heart, and we can be open to the scriptures, or we can keep the tradition of men, and we can want that tickle in our ears. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to turn him off. A tickle in your ears is just music to Satan's. It's what it is. He loves it. Finally this morning, I want to close by telling you a story. There's a man who ran a little parts store, and he would sell ropes and chains, and he had all kinds of parts that he'd sell. And on the table, he had a yard measured, and he'd sell that chain and that rope by the 3 feet, by yard. And he passed away one day, and he turned the store over to his son. The boy comes in, and he, you know, out of curiosity, thinks, "I'm just going to measure that yard that he's been selling the rope and the chain by." And he measures it, and it's an inch short. It's an inch short. He's got two options now. He can continue selling the rope an inch short and cheating people out of what they're paying for, or he can make a new mark an inch further and do the right thing. But when people come in the store and they see the new mark, they're going to say, "Why is there a new mark there? What's going on?" And he's going to have to tell them that they shortchanged people for years. And it's the same choice that we're met with during the sermon when we're convicted. When we see somewhere we're wrong, we have that choice. We can make things right, or we can sweep it under the rug and continue to act like nothing happened, because nobody's going to know any different. You can sit there and not listen and nobody know any different. You can be here with your body, you can sing here with your tongue, but your heart is far from God unless you make those changes.